So the big question is this: how are moms like us, who feel called to be home with our little ones, whose main priority is family, how do we spend our days taking care of everyone else, but also find a way to have something for ourselves? Something that gives us purpose outside the walls of our home, and something that allows us to contribute to the family budget. What is the best way to make money from home? Where do you start? And when do you even find time to work when you have little ones that need you all day? Those are the questions, and this podcast has the answers. My name is Cami Lane, and I'm on a mission to show moms what's possible with an online business. Welcome to the Mom Start a Business podcast. Now let's get started. You're listening to Mom Start a Business, episode 8. In this episode, I am chatting with Ashley Havens. Ashley is a wife, mom of three, special needs advocate, and blogger. I met Ashley through Instagram. You gotta love the gram for connecting, you know, like-minded people from across the world. I've met so many people through Instagram, and I really love that you can just like connect with people, random strangers on the internet, and find a connection and then actually become friends. Anyways, so we started chatting and she mentioned that she was wanting to figure out a way to make more money from her mom blog. So she had started the blog just as a way to document and share her experience of having a child with special needs. She started it when she was pregnant with her, and she was really quickly able to gain quite a lot of traffic through Pinterest, but she was just kind of doing the old school blogging model of blogging for traffic and making use of Google ads. And she was really only making pennies, even though she had quite a bit of traffic. And so she tried adding a small digital product, but there really wasn't much strategy behind it. And so it didn't really do too well. And then after taking a bit of a break from the blog, she's really just at a point where she's ready to get back at it. But this time she's really wanting to go into it with more strategy and figure out a signature digital product of her own that she can promote on her blog. So we decided to just hop on a Zoom call and talk it out, help her kind of brainstorm some ideas to come up with what it is that she could offer. So that is what you are going to hear today. All right, so listen up and you are in for a treat. All right, so what's on your mind? What do you want to chat about today?
Okay, yeah, well, I started my blog when I was pregnant with my third child. When I was pregnant with her, we found out that she had Down syndrome and she had a congenital heart defect. So it was just a lot to take in. And with her heart defect, we knew we were going to go through open heart surgery not long after she was born. So it was just a ball of emotions. And writing has always been very therapeutic for me. And it was at a time where I knew I'd have to stay home because of everything going on medically with her. And I knew it would help me feel better. And then I also kind of wanted to dabble my toes in the water of, well, if it brings in some sort of income, that would be great. If not, you know, not much loss there. So that's why I started it originally. And I wrote most of my posts and pieces when I was pregnant with her. And then once she was born, you know, everything just kind of got crazy and I wasn't really seeing much like revenue from the blog. So it kind of, you know, just got put on the back burner and just everything else came to forefront. And so now that things are kind of calming down, well, it's 2020.
Right. Things never calm down with children. It just changes a little bit.
Right. Now that it has changed, you know, it's come kind of inching back into my mind as, well, maybe it's something that, you know, I need to can pick up doing again. But I really don't know kind of where to start. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not starting from scratch, but it still kind of feels like I am.
Right. So you haven't been blogging on it, right?
No, I have not.
Okay. So, I mean, what would you say is your goal with it? You know what I mean? Like what do you want it to be? Like, if you could just like snap your fingers and have it be what you want, what would it be?
It would really be a source of income. Like, that would be fabulous to me. That would be kind of the dream of being able to write and be at home with the kids and have the flexibility, but also help out financially. Mm-hmm. That would be the ultimate dream goal.
Right. So now, when you were blogging, you were making some money from it. So where was that coming from?
Those were mostly coming from ads, the Google ads that, you know, are just kind of placed in here and there. You know, it brought in, I would say, pennies, really, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. not much of anything, but that's where majority of, if not all of my pennies came from.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Where did you learn about blogging? Did you kind of follow someone's advice? You know what I mean? Like, did you follow someone's guidance in setting up your blog and kind of the whole plan for it?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, on Pinterest, you see so many of the, you know, blog from home, make so much money mm-hmm. a month doing this way. And then you read their blog posts, and it was just me compiling research of, okay, mm-hmm. she did this and she did this, and let me look into this. And it was just a lot of kind of self-teaching based off of what other women have learned and were willing to share. I didn't do any courses. You know, money was tight. So everything I tried to do was just of the knowledge that they just kind of had out there on Pinterest. And that was really where I learned everything and would just dive into it. And if I didn't know how to do something, I would Google it. And that's really how I put it together. And I was actually shocked that it was mildly successful.
That's great. Do you mind sharing? I mean, like, how much traffic you were getting?
Yeah. Well, with, I would say on a good day, I could get probably about 5,000 viewers a day. And that's really was on my recipe post, which I think on mm-hmm. Pinterest, it was just kind of blow up. If you have one really good one, that's what brings in a majority, if not all of my audience, was I had one really good recipe and everyone just loved it.
Yeah.
And so on a good day, I could get up to like 5,000 views a day. And then, you know, it could drop down to 200. So it's just really kind of up in the air, just back and forth.
Okay. And most of your traffic was coming from Pinterest?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So what, we haven't really talked about this even, what were you blogging about? Like, what is your blog about?
Well, you know, and everyone says to find your niche, like, mm-hmm. you know, and mine was really just kind of a broad thing of simplifying motherhood. I talked about my pregnancy in the blog, but most of my blog posts were simplifying meals and how to save money on grocery trips and how to make your own cleaners, you know, like just like different things that you kind of see when you pull up on Pinterest, you know, mm-hmm. that you're kind of bombarded with a lot of those things. And so I was trying to kind of take those posts and simplify it, you know, just not ramble on and on, just kind of get this out there. Like, look, if you're looking how to do this, this is how you do it. And they did pretty well. You know, I got a decent amount of traffic from them, but again, it was those recipes that I think everyone, you know, a mom's always need recipes. And when you're in a pinch, you just type whatever you have in on Pinterest and you find mm-hmm. that recipe and go. And I think that's just kind of why I
did it tonight.
Right? I mean, I think, you know, most moms, that's what we do.
Right. Okay. So moving forward with everything, like, what do you want it to be about?
That's a good question. I don't think I've thought about that. You know, I do think that my blog is so broad that it does need to be more dialed in. But obviously, you know, I'm in a phase of life where motherhood is on the forefront of my mind. So it's easier for me to kind of talk and dish about those types of subjects. And I really enjoy the community of motherhood, like, you know, even on Instagram, and, you know, the moms come together and it's really easy to find other mothers that are looking for certain help or willing to give certain help and tips. And so I'd like to stay on that path, but kind of honing in on it, I haven't really thought of anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like you mentioned, people always say, you know, niche down and get specific. And I think that there's a place to include all of the facets of your life. You know what I mean? I think that especially like on social media, like your Instagram or something, I think it's good to pull people in from kind of different ways and connect with people. And even, I mean, if you are blogging a lot, you know, especially kind of the more traditional blog. So if you're blogging a lot, I think that there's a place for having a little bit more of a broad, you know, spectrum where you're kind of talking about all of it. But especially if you are trying to then sell them something, right? You want that to be very specific, and you want people to be following you and seeing you as the go-to person for something. And so that's where, you know, really being specific and focusing on one thing. And even, you know, let's just say you focused on one area. I don't know. I mean, just say you focused on, you know, moms of Down's kids. You know, I don't know. I'm just pulling this out somewhere, but let's say that was your focus. Okay. So you could still pull in recipes. You could still pull in, you know, little kind of mom hack things, but you would relate it all to the Down's issue. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, especially with a blog, there's kind of two paths you can go. There's the traditional blogging, right, where you are just going for traffic. Mm-hmm. And it can be lucrative, but it is more of a slow going because you've got to get a lot of traffic to make money off of ads, right? Or to then have sponsored posts and things like that. Whereas if you have your own product, right? On the other hand, the other thing is that you can either, you know, offer a service or a product, a course or a membership or, you know, digital download, whatever that is, then it doesn't take nearly as much, right? Versus, you know, making a penny on that person, you can make $100 on that person. And so that $5,000 or that 5,000 people a day traffic is huge, right? If you have something to sell them and you're converting even just 1%, that's a whole lot more than just those pennies from the ads.
Right. Yeah.
And so you had mentioned wanting to maybe come up with a digital product idea. Is that still kind of on your radar?
Yeah, it is. I just don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I tried because I had heard that before, you know, create your own digital product and everything you just said. And I was like, okay, let me try. And so the recipe, the page that just brings me in the most, I was like, let me just try and put something on there to see, since that's getting the most views, if it can catch the most people. And so, but I didn't know what to make for, it's a recipe, you know, what can you make? So I tried to create a product where it was basically recipe cards of my top, I don't know what it was, 10, I think it was my top 10, you know, most viewed Pinterest recipes, easy recipes. And it sold some, but you know, I mean, I'm not going to go to a website and if I see it, I probably wouldn't click and purchase it either, you know, and I knew that creating it, but I also knew I don't know what else to make.
Right.
So that's where I was like, well, I'll try something versus nothing. So of course that wasn't, you know, like a hit.
Right.
But I don't know what would be, you know, or what would be a good path to go down or something to focus on. I mean, I would definitely be interested in it, but I feel like I was kind of at a standstill, like, well, I don't know what to do. So let me just do the easiest thing I can think of.
Hey, sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to take a minute and say thank you so much for listening. It really does mean the world to me knowing that I have amazing moms like you supporting my mission. Would you do me a favor? Will you share this episode with a friend? Simply take a screenshot right now and text it to a friend that it could help. Or better yet, share it on your Instagram stories or Facebook feed. Every share makes a huge difference in showing moms what's possible for them. Thanks again, friend. And don't forget to tag me at Cami Lane when you share. Okay, let's get back to it. So, I mean, what do people come to you for? What are you kind of the go-to person for? Just even amongst your friends and family. What is it that, you know, if someone in your realm is having an issue with something, like what is that that they would come to you for?
In those moments, I would imagine that they come for advice. You know, I think the most kind of traffic that I've received, like on Instagram or Facebook, are the posts where I've talked through an issue and, you know, other women have said, you know, that same with me, I can relate to that. And kind of, I don't mind being vulnerable and honest in hard situations. And I think a lot of other moms have been able to relate to that. And I know my friends especially have. Just with Down syndrome, not specifically, I mean, not all the time, but I do have a lot of moms that have children with special needs, and you don't hear much talk about it and, you know, kind of things that are swept under the rug. So I do like to put things out there and to talk about things and issues that kind of maybe aren't talked about. And openly, and because, you know, people that don't have a child with a disability, it's things you may not think of that parents with a child with a disability do go through or do notice or do have to deal with. And so not only am I able to talk with other parents that can relate to it, but it opens the door for parents that say, you know, I had no idea that this was an issue or that people had to go through this. So I think without continuing to ramble.
No, you're fine. It's good. It's good to just talk through it and verbalize and get it out of your head. And then sometimes it's just like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you were first saying, I was like, I have no idea, but I do feel like I'm, you know, maybe able to talk about issues and topics that other moms or parents or people generally don't want to talk about because they might be hard or tough to hear, tough to take in. And I, not that I look for them, but I don't mind speaking up for them.
Are you an eight on Enneagram? I said, are you an eight on the Enneagram personality test?
Oh, I have no idea. I've never done
that. You should. The eight is like the advocate and, or like the challenger, you know what I mean? Kind of the person that is like, I'm going to fight for other people and not afraid to speak up and speak their mind and share. And you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I never thought I would be that way. I'm very shy and timid and awkward, as my, you know, handle would say.
Yeah.
Which is true, but I do, going through this, it kind of has pushed me into where I don't mind speaking about the issues and becoming an advocate, not only for Down syndrome, but for heart defects and many other issues that are kind of close to home. So yes. possibly okay. an eight.
Yeah. So are you drawn to a certain group of people? I think that that's a good place to start, is to kind of narrow down who is it that you want to help? And then really looking at, okay, what are their issues, right? What are they struggling with? What are the problems that they have that I could solve for them? So are you drawn to kind of a certain specific group of people? I mean, you mentioned parents of, you know, maybe special needs or...
Yeah, I do think I am drawn to parents of children with special needs. I think it's a wonderful community to be in, despite, you know, many of the struggles they have to go through. I also think I'm drawn to, you know, Christian women, you know, Christianity and faith. That's a very big part of our life. And so I think that's another area that I'm drawn to. I think those would probably be the two biggest mm-hmm. groups.
So, and take all of this with a grain of salt. You know, this is just kind of what I am hearing from you and ideas. So I could totally see marrying those two and targeting, you know, Christian parents, you know, of kids with special needs, mm-hmm. because that's very specific, yet that's a big group of people. Yeah. I imagine, you know what I mean? There's millions of people, you know, that would be classified as that. So, I could totally see that working. And so then it's just a matter of figuring out what it is that you can help them with. So, you know, within that sphere, you know, with faith and with having a child with special needs, like what do you excel at? What result have you maybe gotten within that that other people want to get?
That's really hard for me to answer. I think because I'm kind of one of those people that are like, I don't do many great things, you know, like, you
feel yeah,
like,
right,
you feel
right.
Like you're
yeah.
kind of, you know, average. And what you do is what anyone else mm-hmm. would do. But I would say that I think that, you know, I don't know.
What's something that maybe someone has like complimented you on in your parenting?
Wow. it's hard to think of those things because I think when we hear compliments, it's just like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. You know, mm-hmm. I'm doing really good. But I would say probably, you know, having boundaries, sticking with boundaries, having, you know, rules and consequences and chores and accountability, things that many parents, I think, have been lost in this generation, you know, mm-hmm. So having those values that I think most of us grew up on, but it kind of just got muddled over time, mm-hmm. having those values kind of in the forefront of parenting, but being strict, but also being, you know, love them, you know, you
right,
love them.
Right. Right. But having high expectations, right. I think my sister is a special ed teacher. And so one thing, you know, she's always commenting on is like, these kids are capable of so much more than people give them credit for. And I think a lot of, you know, this is kind of more coming from what I've heard from her. Now, I was a teacher as well. So I have, and I actually mostly taught remedial classes. So, I mean, I had several, you know, on IEPs and things, but never anything severe, you know, but just kind of learning disabilities and things.
Right.
And yeah, it was just the same mentality of like, I think a lot of times, special needs kids are, they don't
like people have this idea that they aren't capable of things and, oh, we need to be, you know, really easy on them and they can't follow the rules and they, you know, but kind of what you're saying of still having those boundaries and maybe learning how to do that and with a balance and, mm-hmm. and meeting them, you know, where they're at. So.
Yeah, I say that's very common, you know, just the perception of children with special needs not being able to do or even parent them the same. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I have talked about it so many times, but we don't parent her any different than our other children. You know, mm-hmm. things are harder. It takes mm-hmm. her a little longer, you know, to kind of wrap these certain things around her brain, think, okay, these are the consequences. However, like raising her is no different than mm-hmm. raising her other children. Mm-hmm. And I think most parents with special needs kids, they understand and get it, but it's the society that's kind of out of the loop. That's mm-hmm. like, oh, you know, we have to tiptoe around them. We have to mm-hmm. do this. And if you look at a parent that's going through it and they just kind of brush it off. Like, no, it's like, this is just normal life, just with a couple added extra. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think being able to have that ability to balance, responsibility and accountability and still the nurturing that they need. I think that's, you know, we're able to do that pretty decent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's a great start. And like I said, a great place to start, I feel like, is to get really clear about who you want to help. And then the best thing is just to talk to those people, you know, and really figure out what are the struggles that they have. You know, what challenges are they facing? You know, what questions do they have? Just what are those things that you see that keep coming up that mm-hmm. you could help with? And I mean, it could even be just as simple as they just want a community, you know, like they just want to have other mom friends that are dealing with the same things. Yeah. You know, it could be that simple. So I would suggest just the first step of just trying to find, you know, at least like 10 of those people, 10 of those moms that are moms of special needs, and talk to them on the phone and see, like, you know, what does your day look like? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, do you struggle? And just go from there. Yeah. And, you know, obviously there's lots of strategy and different, you know, marketing and all that stuff. But I mean, I think the best way to kind of find the balance of that actually making money, but also kind of passive, you know what I mean? Like kind of finding that balance, is either a course or a membership. Because it's something that is very much scalable, mm-hmm. but you can also really get people results with it. Whereas, you know, like a downloadable PDF is sure, it's very scalable, but is that really going to make a huge difference in someone's life, you know? And then there's also, you know, coaching, obviously, like where you can do one-on-one coaching. Which you can charge a lot more for, but that requires a lot more of your time, right? And to scale, it takes more of your time. And so I think that a course or a membership is kind of the perfect merriment of both of those. Mm-hmm. So it's great for moms. So, you know, I would kind of go into it with that lens of like, just what, you know, what result could I get people? And would this make more sense? Kind of as like laid out as a course, or maybe, you know, more community based and just kind of an ongoing support kind of thing, and see what you could maybe come up with. And then, you know, with the blog, like I mentioned, I mean, you can go back. What was your blog called?
a bit of simplicity.
Okay. So, I mean, it might be that it does kind of go back to keeping your, you know, life simple as a special needs parent. And you can blog about different things, but it would kind of all come back to whatever your course is about or whatever your membership is about, so that you're constantly, you know, leading to that.
Right. Now, I've heard of the courses before, and so I'm familiar mm-hmm. with that, mm-hmm. but the membership, I'm not too familiar with kind of what that entails.
So basically, a membership, how it differs is a course is more something that is one and done. You know what right. I mean? Maybe like it's something that they need to learn. And once they learn it, then they can implement it and they're good.
Right.
Whereas a membership is something that is going to be more like where they need ongoing support. So I think that the special needs arena niche would probably fit more into a membership mm-hmm. because it would provide that community and a place to ask questions and share struggles. You know what I mean? Just have that right. camaraderie. And so I actually went through, I don't know if you've heard of Stu McLaren. He's kind of the membership guru. And so the way he explains it and kind of sets it up, and with all things online marketing and business, there's a million and one ways that you can do it and that could be successful. You know what I mean? It's just kind of, this is what's worked for him and, you know, people that he's taught. So the way he likes to set it up is someone would join for a monthly, right? Like it's just a monthly thing. So they pay monthly. Obviously you can have like an annual membership or quarterly or however you want to charge it. And they would have core content, which is always there. So that would be kind of your main stuff that you want all of them to learn or right. know. And, he uses what's called a success path. I kind of like to call it a framework because basically it's the idea of how are you going to get them from where they are now to where they want to be. And so what are those steps? And sometimes that is linear, like a path, but sometimes it's not. You know, it's more of kind of a framework. That's why I kind of like to think of it more as a framework. And so your core content is kind of taking people through that, you know, and hitting all of those points. And then it's just kind of up to you on what you want that monthly deliverable to be. So it could be as simple as just a live coaching call, you know, where you all get on and you answer questions and, you know, just however many questions people have, or you do like a hot seat where it's just, you know, a couple of people that you walk through a really specific problem for a longer amount of time, or it could be a resource, you know, some sort of resource that you create, an activity list for the month, or I don't, you know, whatever it is. You know, I mean, there's memberships like, you know, a meal plan, right? Where it's just every month you're getting a new meal plan. So they're just getting that deliverable. There's some that, you know, it's a new, yeah, like activity plan, like toddler activities, you know, that they're getting new monthly. But then there's some where all of the content, you know, really is just there. So it's kind of a hybrid of like a course and a membership. So like they're getting that core content, but then the membership and the incentive of staying in is just getting that support, right? Yeah. Being a part of the community and having that support. That's kind of how my membership is more set up. It's like, you know, you log in, you get all of the content that walks you through setting your business up, but then monthly it's ongoing support with, you know, coaching calls and that kind of thing.
Okay.
So, but it can be however you want, you know, and whatever is going to be most helpful for your members. So.
Well, that makes sense. And, you know, as much as I've researched and kind of, you know, the lovely Pinterest algorithm. So when you research and you just think about something, it just pops up.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I've done that, I've never really heard much on the membership aspect. So that really is, I feel like, valuable.
Yeah.
Information.
Yeah. The reason I am kind of drawn to it, I originally set out thinking I'm going to create a course out of this.
Right.
You know, of what I was wanting to help moms, you know, start a business. But I joined a membership and just loved the setup and that it was just a lot lower barrier of entry, I feel like, because it was a lower price, because it was monthly. So it wasn't this like $2,000 course or, you know, just this big, you know, oh, I've got to kind of have this intense 8 weeks, you know, to do all of this. It's kind of, you could be on your own timeline. And so I liked that for stay-at-home moms, right. You know, that it was lower cost, you know, just kind of that monthly low cost. And then they could kind of be more on their own timeline. And if they wanted to really, you know, hammer it out and get it all done in an 8 week period, they could, or, you know, they could kind of take their time and they're still going to have the support.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was drawn to it.
Yeah. I like the idea of that. I like how it creates more of a community.
Right.
Whereas kind of a course, when you take it, mm-hmm. generally you're on your own and it's right. just you in front of the computer doing it. You may right. be able to email someone and hear back in a few days or whatever, but the membership does seem more kind of inclusive and mm-hmm. more hands-on and where you actually feel like you're interacting.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and from a setup perspective, it really is pretty easy to set up as well, because there doesn't have to be quite as much content, right? Or like deliverables. You know, once you get like, well, and you can launch before you even have it created, but you know, you just are going to have kind of that core content. And then it's just kind of that ongoing support, you know, and maybe one thing that you're creating each month for your members, but it's very scalable of right. that. I mean, you can, you know, have it however many people you want in that membership. So.
Yeah, I think that sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think it would be something I would be interested in trying to learn more about and implement.
Cool. Well, so I would say, you know, next step is just kind of talking to some people and really figuring out like what it is that you really could help with, because that's where the niche is really important in your product. Right. You want whatever it is that you're offering to be really clear, you know, who it's for, what it helps them with, you know, what result is it going to get them? That's where it's really important to be, you know, narrowed down. So just talking to people and figuring out, you know, what it is people want. And then those might be your first members.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that was the problem with my blog, is that I just kind of threw it all out there and tried to encompass every aspect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then there wasn't much reaching out and saying, look, what are you specifically looking for? What are things that can help you? It was more generated off what I thought
mm-hmm.
versus what the actual demand and needs are of others.
Right.
So yep. I think that's a great starting point.
Cool. Well, has this been helpful?
Amazingly.
Okay, good. Good.
Yes, yes. Good, this good. Has been amazing. I appreciate it so much.
Good, good. Okay, so I am back after the call. I want to just go over some of my takeaways from this call and point out some of the main things that I hope that you take away as well. So, number one, even if you have quite a bit of traffic, Google Ads is only going to bring you in pennies. So if blogging is what you want to do, I really highly recommend that you focus on selling your own product rather than ads. Number two, there's a place to include all of the different facets of your life, but when it comes to selling a digital product, you want it to be very niche.
Number 3, if you have your own product or service to offer, you don't need as much traffic as the traditional blogging model. So back to, you know, number 1, with ads, you have to have a bunch of traffic to make any money from it. But if you have your own product or service, you don't need all of that traffic. Number 4, you can't just throw up any old digital product and expect it to sell, even if you have traffic. You know, if the product is not something that people want and there's not really strategy behind it, then it's not going to sell. Number 5, if you're having trouble coming up with an idea for a product, think about what it is that people come to you for. You know, consider just talking this out with a friend, seeing what they think it is that you're known for. You know, just hit up a friend to chat it out, or I would love to talk to you. If you want to be on an on-air coaching call like this one, I would love to have you. Just go to momstartabusiness.com/on-air call. You can fill out an application there and I'll get back to you and we can possibly set up an on-air coaching call for you as well. Okay, number 6, start with who you want to help and then figure out what it is you could help them with. So if you can start with, you know, what kind of person, what group of people is it that you want to help, then you can go from there and figure out what it is that you could help them with. Think about what result it is that you've gotten that others want to get as well. It could be a big result. It could be something small. But just think about, you know, what is it that you've accomplished that other people want to do as well? I think we're on number 7. I don't know. I lost track and I didn't write the numbers down. Okay. Number 7. We'll go with number 7. One of the best ways to figure out, you know, what it is that you, can help with is just to get on the phone with people and talk about what it is that they struggle with. What does their day look like? What are the problems they're encountering? So just get on the phone and talk with people about what it is that you might be able to help them with. Number 8, I think that courses and memberships are the best way to get people results, but also leveraging your time. So yes, you know, with one-on-one coaching or services, you can get people really great results, but it does require more of your time. And yes, you can, you know, have a completely hands-off leveraged product, but, you know, like a downloadable PDF or something like that, but that's not necessarily going to get people the best results because it's just kind of a one-off thing. So I think the perfect merriment of that is a course or a membership. That's just my opinion though. Okay. Number 9, a course is more for one and done type learning. So if it's, you know, something that you can go through, learn, and then implement, and you don't really need a whole lot of support. A membership is more for something that needs ongoing support. Of course, you can kind of do either or and make things fit into either one, but that's kind of the differentiation there, for, you know, a course or a membership. So if you're trying to decide between the two. So a great setup for a membership is to have core content that takes people through your framework, and then you can have monthly deliverables. Then the last takeaway here, I don't even know what number I'm on, is remember that your product should be about solving a problem for other people, not just something that you want to do, right? You might have this idea and think, oh, this would be so fun to create. But if it's not something that people actually want solved, then it's not going to go very far. You've got to keep your focus on what is it that other people need help with? What is it that they want solved? And that is going to go so much further. All right. Thank you again so much for listening. I really do appreciate you being here. If you want to follow Ashley's journey, you can go find her on Instagram at awkward as a mother. Yes, I love it. It's awkward. Awkward as a mother on Instagram. And like I mentioned, if you would like to apply to be on an on-air coaching call, then just head on over to momstartabusiness.com/on-air call and you can fill out an application and we can get that squared away. And then if you would like more information on my membership, where I walk you through creating your own digital product business, find me on Instagram at Cami Lane, CamiLayne, and DM me the word membership. And I'll send you more info and we can see if you're a good fit for that membership where we, you know, I walk you step by step how to get everything set up, come up with your idea, put it all out there, and, you know, you get that ongoing support because it is a membership. So let me know, send me that word membership in my DMs and we can get you some more info. All right. I'll be back with you next week and I'll chat with you soon.